conquers the grave, yeah.
Smiling eyes. Can't see your whole face, but you look beautiful. We are so happy to worship with you this morning. What a joy we can gather. Will you stand and sing with us?
Brought me in, oh, his love for me. This is love. Thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we're your children, that you've called us to yourself, that you adopt us into your family. And yes, that's a forever family, but it's also a very present family. And as we join your family, we're a part of a great community. We're bonded and connected to you, and we are bonded and connected to one another. And so it's a great pleasure to come and worship you. As we've been encouraged in song, we want to come boldly to your altar. And it's true, as we come, we bring our mistakes and our sins, our shame and our regret. We bring what hasn't happened this week to you. And as we trade in the old for the new, you give us great hope for the week ahead, for the weeks ahead, for life ahead. And it's true, life continues to be chaotic and odd. It causes us to lose our place, make us feel as though we're wandering in the desert more than enjoying the promised land that Jesus came to give us. Help us to make our way. Help us, Lord, to drop off what we need to drop off today and pick up what you've come through your Holy Spirit to deliver to each one of us today. We pray for those that are recovering from surgery. We pray for those that are headed to surgery this week. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for those who are in need, be it something material or just someone to come alongside of them and be their friend this week. You are great and holy God, and I'm thankful that you're a God of grace and a God of mercy as you call us forward into faith. Give us your Holy Spirit that we might worship you both in truth and in spirit this morning. To your glory and to your honor, we pray. Amen. All right, so you can give a virtual high five to those around you this morning. Fantastic. I know I'm like you. I can't wait till we shake some hands and be able to encourage one another in a more physical way. Thank you. You guys were awesome today. Thank you very much. It's not everybody that has Bob Dylan sing on their stage in the morning. That's a treat. So good things are going on. I want to thank you for your ongoing giving. Here's one great thing that we've done in the last several weeks. A group of women have gotten together and they have started a ministry called Lilies of the Valley. It's just called Love. And it is a place for women to go who are off of drugs, recovering from alcoholism, and have a good track record. They just need some place to live in the meantime. And so part of what they get here at Love is some love and care and some encouragement and counseling. Then they live there as they are put back into the workforce. They find a job with the whole idea that they're going to move out back onto their own life, their own future. You have bought furniture, all 8 of the beds for this facilities, all the comforters, all the bedding. On top of that, you have given cash for scholarships for the cost of women for the first period that they're there. Let me see, do I know? For the first 90 days, there's a cost for them to be a part of this program. And not every woman has that money. And so people have been giving scholarships. In fact, they've located the first woman who will live here. She has been living clean and sober in her car for the past many months. She is someone that does not yet know Jesus, but is looking for help, looking for community to be a part of. And so if Jesus comes with that community, she's ready to get to know him and take all of that on. That's really happening because of your generosity. Here's a couple more things that they need. They need some pots and pans that actually work and have lids that match them. If you don't have matching lids, don't donate them, at least not to these folks. They need sets of towels, and they need some dishes. And here's one I know that someone in our church can provide them. They need 2 sets of 12 places of silverware. And it can be like silver plate, and I know some of us have like 3 sets of that stuff. Here's a really good reason for you to go ahead and get rid of one whole 12 place setting of that silverware or that silver plate. They could use it. If you call the office, they can give you the information on how to get what you have to them. If you want to make a cash donation, just write it out to SCC. And in the memo line, or if you do it online, just identify Love Lilies of the Valley Ministry, and 100% of that money will go in that direction. Another great thing that we've been a part of is a sea cucumber ranch. If you remember, we sent a mission team out in that direction. And here's a little thank you and a little check-in with those missionaries.
It's our pleasure to welcome Sean and Angie to Squim Community Church this morning. They are EPC World Outreach missionaries who right now are in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they're working remotely. They have a business ministry collaborative that gives them an opportunity to spread the gospel in a place where they might not be able to do that otherwise. So I wanted to take just a few minutes and let you know who they are, and let them introduce themselves maybe a little bit more and talk about how that works.
Thanks, Kimball. It's really a joy for us to be with you all. It's been a few years since we've been in SQIM, and so it's fun for us to say hi. And we appreciate a few minutes to talk about what God's been doing in where we work and with our company. We work with fishing villages and help them farm seafood products in their ocean space. So we want to help them be successful, and then we sell those for them. Some of our staff are church planters. Some of them are expats. Some of them are locals. And they are the ones who are day-to-day working with our partners in these Muslim fishing villages there. What we've built is very expandable, replicable. So we can build it again in another area, in another island group, in a similar way. And so the goal will be to keep doing that as we are able.
Well, thank you. We wish you the best. We know that you have children in school. That's why you're working remotely now. And that work-family balance, even as a missionary, is not an easy thing to do. So we wish you the very best. And it was a real pleasure to meet with you this morning.
That was Kimball Shelley, who is our elder of missions. And when he makes a comment about the balance of ministry and mission and family and all of that, he knows because his father was a missionary, and he spent many years of his elementary and junior high years out on the mission field. So he knows, and great encouragement. Pray for them and the sea cucumbers. That's a great, I know it sounds funny, but that ministry is doing great things, making great inroads into the islands. So if you're a farmer looking for the island life, Kimball can set you up with them, and you can go spend some time out on some islands farming under the water instead of on top of the land. So today our scripture reading is coming remotely, and it's coming from the outpost of Port Townsend, Washington. And Nancy Vance is reading our scripture passage for us.
Good morning, church. Greetings from Port Townsend, where, contrary to popular opinion, we still do have a number of believers left here. I'll be reading this morning from Hebrews chapter 11. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Verse 6, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And in verse 27, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible.
We're in a series called Authentic. Authentic means genuine. It means the real thing. It is not a knockoff. It's not a replica of something. It's the real thing. Today we're looking at authentic faith. How would you define authentic faith? Well, the writer of Hebrews helps us out here with an excellent definition of faith. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us an assurance about things we cannot see. Those are good things. A confidence that things that we hope for will happen, and an assurance about those things that we can't see. Now, I believe that there's some things we can't see that are really bothering us. This COVID virus. If we're not a scientist, we can't see it. And we're protecting ourselves accordingly. But you know what I've noticed is it's starting to erode the confidence and the assurance of people. I ran into someone this week, and although I could only see their eyes, I could see that their eyes were very sad. I sized them up for a moment and went, oh, here's an extroverted person who can't go outside very often. They have to be very careful about whatever they bring home from the store, from a conversation with another person. They have to be concerned about everything. Why? They have to be concerned about the invisible things they can't see. And I could tell it's wearing on them. And so we need an assurance. We need a confidence, don't we? And when it comes to faith, those are two key components. And I believe those are key components because, like you, I understand that without risk, there is no faith. Risk and faith, they go hand in hand with one another. And I don't know about you, but risking's a little risky. It sometimes makes me feel very exhilarated, doesn't it? But boy, other times it's almost, it's a little depressing. It creates a great apprehension in me. And we must risk. Life is risk. We all know that, don't we? Right now, each and every day is really a risk as we make our way. And yes, risk and faith go together because it is impossible to please God without faith. Now, understand when our writer tells us it's impossible to please God without faith, he's not saying that all the other things we do aren't good. We go about a lot of very possible things each and every day, and those are pleasing to God. He's pleased when we study his word. He's pleased when we help someone else. He's pleased and joyful when we pray to him and talk with him. And all of those are good. Don't misunderstand what our writer is saying. Those are good things. But the hard press in this world, the hard press of a genuine, authentic faith, it's that risk. Are we willing to get out of our comfort zone, out of what comes easy for us, and step out beyond that? And whether we're willing to step out beyond that or not, or get pushed out there, that happens from time to time. For that to happen, we have to exercise our faith, and God has called us to be people of faith, faith in him, faith in his promises and how he details our life in the future. A risky faith with one another, and right now it's a little risky to have good friends. If you want to please God, you got to have faith. It takes us back to the original passage we looked at in Colossians. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow stronger in the truth. And a possible, impossible faith is grounded in the truth. The truth of who God is, what God is doing in us, and what God wants to do through us. Now, I don't know about you, but I think God was rolling the dice a little bit when he came into my life. That was pretty risky. Maybe this Koenigsaker guy's not going to do very good up ahead. And he risks including us and his family, and then he launches us to exercise that truth. And he wants to strengthen us in that. And being strengthened in our faith is really our choice. We have to choose to do that. We have to do the root work that needs to be done. We need to figure out a plan on how we're going to build on our relationship with Jesus Christ and his truth in community with one another. Yeah, we have to choose to mature and grow. Habakkuk 2:4. The righteous will live by their faith in God. The right living, the obedient, those that desire to mature and move faster and further in their faith in Jesus Christ. Authentic faith. I think there's three marks of authentic faith that are identified in this 11th chapter of Hebrews. There's a few more things, but I only have a few more minutes, so I'm going to take three, the top three for me. Number one, you got to believe without seeing. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. That's the NIV translation of 11:1. What we don't see, I'm the person that says, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm an empiricist like you. Oh, I'll believe it when I see it. Oh, you mean I have to have some assurance and some confidence that what I can't see up above, beyond, is going to happen, will happen, even if it's an impossibility? Yeah, the answer to that is yes. Yes. It's hard to believe without seeing. In fact, I don't know about you, but when I go on a trip, I like to know where I'm going. I mean, I don't have every minute of every day. I'm not OCD. I just need to know where I'm going. And when I get there, what are some of the things that we're going to aspire to do? I went on a couple of mission trips with Rick. And if you go on a mission trip with Rick, you don't know exactly where you're going, how you're going to get there, and what time you're going to arrive. What I love about Rick is he just says that with a big smile on his face. He says, planes, trains, and automobiles, we'll get there. We'll get there. And he'll say, we'll get there when God wants us to get there. You never know. Maybe God's got something for us to do along the way. We might get there a little faster. We might get there a little bit slower. We might take a different route. Well, it's good he's leading. I can relax when he's leading. But if I was having to lead, ooh, that makes me a little uptight. You know, I want to know I'm going to get there, I'm going from here to there, and this is our mode of transportation, and all those, yeah, that's not the way. Oh, you have to be faithful to be a missionary. Yeah, you do. Because you don't always get to see everything you believe before you get there. Someone with authentic faith is a person that can see the future in the present. It's a little bit like creating something. You know, you have to have a creative idea before you have a creative result. Now, again, I am not the most creative person in the world. Maybe this is why. I just can't see it. I can't see what I can't see up ahead. And therefore, when I start, it's just, well, it's awful. Don't ask me. I can paint a house, just don't ask me to paint a picture, right? See, it's that whole idea that in faith, we don't always see everywhere that God is taking us, yet God does get us from where we are to where He wants us to be, as long as we hang on to our faith. Number two, it's about going without knowing. Going without understanding. Here's Noah. It was by faith that Noah built a really large boat, one of the first cruise ships ever built, to save his family from the flood. Verse 7, he obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. Wow. Now, God called Noah because he was an obedient guy. And I don't know if you've ever tried to build anything that would even resemble a boat, a really big boat. And you could maybe have a little more faith if he started with you at the dock, right? Here, I'm going to take you down to the water, and here's all the everything you're going to need, and so we'll just build the boat over here, and then we'll just roll it, slide it down into the water. Now, he's building a cruise ship out in the middle of the desert. And it's not surprising to us that people laughed at him when they went by. That they thought, well, he's that Noah guy, man, he's completely lost it. I don't know if it's dementia or Alzheimer's, but he's got something. Maybe he's just crazy. Why would anybody? Oh, obedience. Faithful obedience to God. He had to go without knowing. He had to go without knowing, the scripture said. Noah did everything as God commanded him out of obedience. You know, our natural tendency is to not be obedient. Some of us are more willful than others, but, you know, down deep, we're not the most obedient people in the world. At least most of us aren't. Noah did everything. Now, I'm like you. That makes me always feel a little bit bad. Everything. And it doesn't say everything to make us feel bad. It talks about everything because all of our circumstances, all of our calling is not exactly the same. And God calls us to faith over here, and he calls to other people for faith over there. Whoa. He even called some people to have faith going this way. And Noah becomes an example because we can be obedient in whatever direction God calls us. And my encouragement is always start small. Be obedient in the small things, and then don't be surprised if you start being more obedient or more faithful in larger things, more complex things. You might even find yourself getting to the point where you believe without seeing and you go without knowing. For most of us, both of those are a challenge to our authentic faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home, go to another land, that God would give him an inheritance there. Another great example. Abraham doesn't know where he's headed. He just knows that God said, leave this home that you feel very comfortable in and head this way, and I just promise you this, I will bless you. I will bless you. Now, if God hasn't been blessing you, maybe it's because, you got to see everything before you do anything. You got to know everything before you're willing to move out. And we have to be a little bit more like Noah, a little bit more like Abraham. And it doesn't mean there can't be some discussion with God ahead of time. Are you sure you're talking about me? Are you sure you want me to go to the outpost of Sequim, Washington? Really? That's where you want me to go? It's amazing where God calls us. He might call you as a farmer to head to some islands and to help farm something under the water instead of on top of the land. Sometimes we're called to build things that we don't really even know how to build. And here I'm not just talking about structures. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about movements, about groups that have concern, like the Lilies of the Valley group, the Love group. They just got this wild, creative, faith-filled idea. We ought to do this. You know what? We ought to do that. And yeah, there's been a lot of partners along the way, and thank you for being one of the big contributors to what's taking place. But see, they could see the future and the present. They could move out even not knowing exactly how everything was going to work out, but it's working out. All we need now is some pots and pans, some towels, and some silverware. And if you don't have it to donate it, I'm sure we'll buy it and give it to them. Why? Because they need that stuff. That's important. So we need to be like Noah, we need to be like Abraham. The Bible contains 1,050 commands where God says, you know, go do this. Remember last week we looked at the if-then in the passages that we were looking at? If you're willing to do this, then this will happen. Well, take a couple ratchets up, and when God commands you to do something and you're obedient to it, there is always a blessing and a reason for that. Because when God does something, there's always, eternity is always attached to it. Even if it is just talking to a woman who's been living in her car, doesn't even know what Christianity is all about, what Jesus is all about, I'll bet she's barely cracked a Bible, if that at all, in her life. And these women were called to build something that she could come to, and I won't be surprised by what the outcome's going to be in this woman's life. But see, it's taken some faith. It's taken doing some things even though we can't see how it's all exactly going to come together. And they had to move out not knowing exactly who would be these eight women. Now we have one. 1,050 opportunities for God to bless your life. All you have to do is read those commands and get moving. Oh, I can't because I can't see. Oh, I can't because I don't know it all. That takes faith. It takes faith in a God that does the impossible. And he wants to hand the impossible to us. That's why it's impossible. It's impossible to please God without faith. because we're taking his ability to do the impossible and he's doing it through us. In us, but also through us. All right, one last thing. We got to have perseverance when we don't feel like it. It was by faith that Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. I love that picture. How do you picture God as he's described as invisible? Verse 27. He held his purpose like a man who could see the invisible. That's the Jerusalem Bible translation. Persistence, guess what? That is not popular today, being persistent, is it? In fact, we've even seen it with the coronavirus, and generally what people say is, well, I'll be inconvenienced for a while, but you know what? If it's not fun, I don't want to do it. Now, out of that, we've seen a lot of funny things on our video feed and TV because people get creative when they're bored and they're locked in and locked down. The thing is we want to have fun. We've been told that if it's not fun, don't do it. And that's very much a part of society. The idea of doing hard work and doing hard work for someone that isn't related to us, that we don't know, oh, you know, there's almost not a category for that anymore. And the reason for that is the society is running on feelings instead of commitment. And those in society that are really doing something are those that have chosen commitment over just having fun. Man, if it doesn't feel good, just don't do it. I talked to somebody the other day. He says, I can't get people to come to work that I want to hire. We're talking around here. And I said, you know, we were talking about their industry. And he said, well, they're on unemployment. Wait, I think I can say this on live stream. Sure, I can. They're on unemployment, and they don't really want to go back to work until their unemployment runs out. Why? Because they can have fun while they're on unemployment. But, well, that other option is called work. And as I tell my children, they do call it work. That's why they pay you for it, because it's work. It's not always fun. Faith is work. James says, man, you work out your faith. You put your faith to work. That's going to take some perseverance. And that means going against some of the general culture that says, you know, at the first time of work or difficulty, just drop out. Just drop out. If it's not fun, just don't do it. Go do something fun. Here's a great quote. I think I'll get it correct. Now, let me look. Okay, I got it. Successful people do what unsuccessful people feel like not doing. Faithful people do what other people don't want to do. And when you do what is hard to do, what is a challenge to do, that really takes perseverance over the long haul, what I found is some of the breakthrough doesn't happen all right away. It's not easy. It doesn't happen in a single moment. It may take a long time. And so we do need perseverance. Perseverance comes, it does come from the Word of God. It does come from our relationship with one another. But I think it comes from outlasting two things. Number one, criticism. And the second one is crisis. If you're going to live by faith, you're going to get criticized. I like what Rick Warren says. Criticism and compliments are like chewing gum. Chew on them for a while and then spit them out. Right? Enjoy them, learn from them, and then move on in your life. And guess what? We have crisis whether we want crisis or not. Nobody turned the corner on 2020 and said, hey, I'm ready for this crisis to happen. No. How'd we come into this crisis? We came in kicking and screaming like a little two-year-old. And we're kind of still like that. We're still kicking and screaming. When's this going to get over? We need some perseverance. We need to help one another persevere. We need to envision this invisible God in very tangible ways in our life right now. Because he wasn't surprised. He's not taken aback. He understands how impossible life is for us right now. And he says, I'm really good at working with the impossible. I like to make the impossible possible in a person's life. Authentic faith, you have to develop it, you got to choose it. It is like letting the roots of our life go deep. It is building upon the truth that God has given us. And there will be times, there are times, we have to believe without seeing, we have to go without knowing, we have to persevere when we don't feel like it, out of our commitment to Jesus Christ and our commitment to one another, our commitment to his great commission. Let's pray. Jesus, you know where our strengths are when it comes to faith. You know where our weaknesses are. Lord, you know what venues of life cause us fear and anxiety and depression and stress. And it's almost always because it's something we can't see, it's something we don't know, it's something that's not fun or easy. So Lord, develop our belief, develop our moving forward, develop above all else, Lord, our confidence that what we hope for will happen, in an assurance that the things that we cannot see will occur. For Lord, as we desire to love you who is invisible, we're thankful that you've given us very visible, tangible people to love. And as we love you and as we love one another, there really is very little we can't get through with you and with one another, and we're thankful for that. And we pray in your name. Amen.
Like me, I was.
Lord, we thank you for that truth. Thank you that our chains are gone, that we have been set free. We bless your name today, Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you all for joining us this morning. May the Lord bless you and walk with you as you continue to grow in persistent faith this week. Have a good Sunday.